The scripture today, as Sheila read earlier, is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Happy New Year. Does anyone else like new beginnings and first? A few of us. I got to tell you, I'm one of those. I like new beginnings and fresh starts and first. I love a new morning. I'm definitely a morning person, so I love a new day. And the first of the week, I get all excited that it's the first of the week and, you know, telling what kind of opportunities are ahead. And I'm one of those that the first of the month really gets me excited, so you can only imagine how excited I am that it's the first of the year. You know, my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And when I think about that scripture, I can always imagine myself up on a mountaintop and looking out towards the future and all that's ahead of me. And I get excited because I don't know what all it's going to hold, but I know with God it's going to be great. And I wonder who God's going to bring into my life or what opportunities or things that are going to happen. And I know it won't always be smooth, but I know God will be with me all the way. You know, and I kind of think that God is a God of new beginnings. You know, I look at Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, and it talks about God's great love for us and how his compassions never fail and that his mercies are new every morning. Do you get that? God's a morning person too. I mean, I think I knew that anyway from looking at the sunrises. And some of you will say, well, yeah, there's also the sunset and the starry skies. So, all right. So, God's an all-around-the-clock type of God. But I do think that God is a God of new beginnings and fresh starts and do-overs and second chances. And for some of us, third and fourth chances. And I think it's because God loves us so much that he extends his grace to us, that we can repent and turn back to him and have those second chances so that we can begin again. So we begin a new year. And for this new year, we're starting out with a sermon series where we're looking at the godly wisdom of God for the new year. And also looking at habits that will help us to live well. So as we look at that godly beginning of the new year, we're going to look at the most important thing. And the most important thing is to focus on God and to put God first. And even Jesus said that putting God first was the most important thing. As he reminded us that the most important scripture, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so we begin right there. You know, for many of us, we will have New Year's resolutions here at the first of the year. I'll confess that every year for as long as I can remember, I've given up chocolate. And sometimes it's lasted for a few days. And sometimes it's only lasted a few hours. But the top New Year's resolutions are to lose weight, get organized, spend less, and save more. Now, there's some incredible statistics out there, and some of these may be on your list or maybe not, but there's all these statistics out there about what people choose for their New Year's resolutions. But there's also statistics about how long people stick with their resolutions and what type of people last longer on them and everything else. But whether you're the type to set goals or not, I will say that I think resolutions and goals, and any time where we can stop and take a look at our lives and kind of evaluate and see where we need to improve, that we have a better chance at hitting a goal if we've set a goal. You know, I think too often we kind of stumble through life just hoping we'll arrive somewhere. And if we don't have a goal, we miss out. But we also need to make sure it's the right goals. I've heard it said that you don't want to be climbing the ladder of success only to find out that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. So we need the right goals. I heard about a pastor who was talking to a young man who was just about to graduate from high school. And so he said, "So what are your goals? What's next?" And the young man was all excited, and he said, "Well, you know, I've wanted to go to an Ivy League university." And he said, "I'm accepted, and I'm going to be starting there in the fall." And the pastor said, "That's great. What next?" And the young man thought, and he said, "Well, after I finish my degree, then I'd like to go and get my master's at another Ivy League university and do that." And the pastor said, "That's great. What next?" And the young man said, "Well, I'd like to go to work for a large corporation and have a great job, be very successful, and make lots of money." And the pastor said, "That's great. What next?" And the young man said, "Well, I'd like to get married and raise a family and enjoy life." And you can help me on this. The pastor said, "That's great. What's next?" And the young man thought, and he said, "Well, I guess I'd like to retire and then travel all over the world." And the pastor said, "That's great. What's next?" And the young man thought for a moment, and he said, "I don't know." And the pastor said, "Son, your goals are way too small." You know, what if we get to the end of our lives and we look back and we wonder if we ever made a difference? Or we wonder what we'll be remembered for. And most of all, when we stand before God, will God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? You know, some of the things that we think we're achieving may not have lasting value. But you know what? We always have a chance to start over and to do things right, to begin again. In fact, we can repent. And what repent really means is to turn. If you think about walking, and you're walking one direction and you realize you're not walking the right direction, then you repent. You turn around. And that's really a simple way of thinking about repent. But for some of us, maybe we're not going 180 away from God, but maybe we're not going exactly where God wants us to go. And so repenting also is turning so that we're facing God. It's making that adjustment. If we're going off this direction and God's this direction, it's turning to make sure we're going towards God. So how do you know if you're going the right direction, in the direction that God wants you to go? Because let me tell you up front that if we're not going in the direction God wants us to go, then we are missing out on life. Because God has created us for a purpose. Now, there is a plan for our lives. Remember, a plan to prosper us and give us hope and a future. And if we're not living in the center of God's will, then we're missing out on His blessings. We're missing out on His power. We're missing out on really knowing God. So back to that question, how do you know? How do you know if you're going the way God wants you to go? If you're doing what God wants you to do? And the answer is pretty simple. You make your focus on God. You make God your focus, and then you develop holy habits to help you keep Him your focus so that you don't pull back away. And if you have God as your focus, then it's amazing how everything else seems to fall in place and seems to make sense. In fact, some of those things that you thought were so important, well, some of them may still be important. And if they are important and if they're part of God's plan for your life, then they will be given to you. And if they're not, then some of those things will fall away and they'll just kind of fade away, and you'll realize they didn't have lasting value. But the most important thing is to make God your focus. In fact, our memory verse for today that's in your bulletin, take a look at that. Because I encourage you each week to be memorizing Scripture. And hey, this is a great time to start at the first of the year. In that box on your bulletin, your memory verse is Matthew 6:33. And let's read it together. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, if we seek Him first, when we make God our priority, when we make God our focus, when He's really first in our life, everything else falls in place. So let me give you some holy habits that will help you to put God first. And I'll just tell you up front, all of these things begin with first. So you ready? First thing every morning, turn to God. Let your thoughts go to Him and pray. And pray and say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for the opportunities you're giving me. Lord, I give you myself. Guide me in all I do. Give me wisdom. Help me to hear you. You know, before I even get out of bed, I'll lie there for a while and just kind of pray. But then I kind of slide out on the side and I spend some time kneeling and just offering myself up to the Lord. Because before I stand on my own two feet, I want to make sure God and I have talked about the day. And that I've given myself to Him and that I know that He's going to be with me. And it makes all the difference. It's starting things out right from the very first. The other thing I'd encourage you to do daily is to find some time to be in God's Word. You know, maybe it's doing a devotional, maybe it's reading a Bible study, maybe it's only reading a scripture that's listed on there for that day. But find some time to open the Bible and listen to God and hear what He has to say to you. Because God's always speaking to us. We're just not always listening. So every day, pay attention to Him. All right, every week, make sure that you put God first by participating in worship. You know, if God really is the most important thing in your life, then you need to be in worship. And parents, you know, you need to be setting an example for your children. You know, what does it tell them if you're out doing other things? Is any other event or activity more important than God? And if you're out of town, that's fine. Then visit a church. In fact, we have some guests here today that a couple of them have said that they're traveling through and they happen to stop here, and thank goodness, and we're delighted that you're here. But find a church somewhere or listen to a sermon online. But somehow, let God's Word fill you and participate in a worship service. And if you have a family, then do it as a family. That way you're not only drawing close to God, but you're also drawing close to those who are closest to you. So that's every day and every week. So now, every month, first, give to God. Before you spend anything, make sure that you are giving back to God what He has blessed you with. You're returning that to Him. And according to Scripture, you're returning a tithe. And a tithe is one-tenth. And Scripture is very clear about that. It lets us know in Malachi 3:8-10, that a tithe is a tenth, and that we're robbing God if we're not giving back to Him. And you'll notice also in there it says, bring the whole tithe. It doesn't say give the whole tithe, We're not giving it to God because it's not really ours. We're bringing it back to Him, the whole tithe. And in case you're worried and saying, yeah, but how am I going to pay for everything else? Go back to your memory verse. Remember, seek God first, and everything else will be given to you. And God even tells you in Scripture, He says, test me in this. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much on you. So make sure that before you do anything else, whatever comes into you, whether it's at the first of the month or whenever it is, make sure that you give God first. So just to recap our holy habits. Every day, first, pray. And then find some time to be in the Bible so that you hear God speaking to you. Every week, participate in worship. And every month, make sure that you return to God first the tenth that belongs to Him. And now for the new year. Every year, make a new commitment to God. Spend time with God to find out exactly what He wants you to be doing and how He wants you to be living your life. I'll tell you, for me, I normally like to fast and listen to God. And on January 1st, on Friday, I fasted. And I worked on goals some, and it was okay. But the unusual thing happened when I went to bed on Friday night. I slept better than I have ever slept before. In fact, on my sleep app, I got 100. That's pretty cool. I never knew you could really get 100. But I slept great, and I had this dream that God was talking to me about my goals. And He told me to go back and put scriptures down for my goals. And He gave me two of them. So the next morning, I woke up and pulled out my goals, and the first goal I had on there was to focus on God. And so our scripture for today of seek first His kingdom fit perfectly for that. And the other scripture He gave me was, because I was looking at health and trying to stay healthy, and it was about, it's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, where it talks about that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I've gone through and kind of found other scriptures to support other goals. So hopefully this year I can stick with my goals a little bit more, knowing that I have scripture guiding me. You know, that may work for you or maybe not. You may be looking at something different. But I encourage you to take time to spend time with God today or the next few days and just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, maybe what God's wanting you to do this year is to read more in the Bible. Maybe it's to read through the Bible or to participate by reading and doing the life journal. Maybe it's to be a part of a Bible study at this church or some other church. Maybe what God's calling you to be involved with is missions or evangelism or some way of sharing the good news. You know, if you've not joined the church, maybe God's saying, now is the time. I want you to finally be fully committed to me. Or maybe God's calling you to serve, and maybe that's in the church or some way in the community. But spend time with God and find out what God's telling you that He wants you to do. And in that time, just talk to Him and say, Lord, I want to make You the focus of my life. I want to put You first. Help me to focus on You. Help me to know what You want me to do. Show me what You want me to commit myself to. Guide me. You know, if you really want a life full of value and experiencing all of God's glory, then you've got to focus on God and put Him first. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, we do come before You now, just knowing that You are always with us. And there's so much more in our lives that we could be experiencing and enjoying and making a difference if we're following the way that You're leading us. Lord, forgive us where we've gotten off track, where we've not always gone the way that You've wanted us to. But help us now to turn to you, to repent, to make sure we're aligned in the way that you want us to go, knowing that you will give us direction step by step, and that you will guide us all the way. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Amen.